That's all for me. Find a Bible. We're going to go to our gospel reading today, Luke chapter 4. As we look at this question, is Christianity too narrow? Is it too exclusive? Is it too restrictive? And as you're turning there, page 860, Luke chapter 4, check out this video.
I think I'd be ignorant to say that Christianity is the only right religion. I don't know what the right religion is. It's just what I believe it is.
Some people that I've met, it's just I've had friends, and the minute they find out about me, or the minute that I do anything that doesn't follow their religion, they don't want anything to do with me.
There's a lot of good and there's a lot of bad that can come out of it. And I'm not sure if it's from religion that the bad or the good comes out of it, or whether it's the people.
I respect a lot of faiths, and I think that Christianity is the pillar that's influenced by the other great religions in the world.
La cristianidad es muy importante porque podemos aprender valores cristianos donde no podemos, donde descubrimos más acerca de nosotros.
My view on anyone who claims to have a monopoly on truth is that there's no one truth about anything. I think that a lot of religions say the same thing in different ways.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we dive into these verses and interact with this question today, we ask for your Holy Spirit's guidance in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, how the world has changed. I was born in 1983, graduated in 2001 from high school, and no smirks, okay? But I remember a time when that sort of response to Christianity was only imagined. You might remember a time when Christianity was assumed to be sort of the standard. After all, we live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. And you know, Christianity has sort of been a staple within our country's fabric, whether or not you call Christianity or just deism. That's another conversation. But we have this sort of innate experience with Christianity as Americans, and to hear responses like we heard in that video, I mean, it kind of creates room for pause, does it not? If you have a student, if you have any interaction with young people, let me tell you, this is like the question that a lot of young people are asking today. That most people under the age of 35 see religion as judgmental and homophobic, always carrying a political agenda. And perhaps maybe on one hand they're right. On one hand maybe they're correct because in a way that has been sort of the verbal agenda of the Christian church for the last 35 years. And yet on the other hand we have to wrestle with this question, is Christianity too narrow? Is it too exclusive? How can we say that we have the corner on God? How can we say that the gospel is the only way that we can be saved? We'll get to that here in a second, but let's grab our Bibles and kind of give a framework of where we want to go here. Okay? So Jesus, he's going around Galilee, alright? He's baptized. We read about that. He has already said that his purpose, alright? His purpose is to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to say that God has come near. He's not far off. He's not distant, but he has come near. And he has become so close that he begins healing. That God, through the power of Jesus that he has from the Holy Spirit, is going around. And you can read about it here in verse 31. He heals a man with an unclean demon. And then I'm going to pick up in verse 38 to kind of give us a context of what we heard earlier, okay? So verse 38, Jesus, he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. And now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever. Everybody say, rebuke the fever. We oftentimes say prayers like, God, I hope they get better. God, would you please intervene? God, will you? You know, it's interesting. Jesus never actually prayed a prayer like that. Did you know that? He actually never prayed a prayer. God, we pray that this person gets better. No. He'd always go around and he would rebuke the disease. Now, we don't use that word rebuke very often, but think about it like this. He's just simply talking to the disease. He is commanding the disease to leave. And that's exactly what we have here with Peter's mother-in-law, all right? He is talking to the fever. He is rebuking the fever. He is speaking against the fever, all right? Pray a prayer like that next time, all right? And it left her, which tells us that Jesus' way of praying is a little different, that Jesus has something that nobody else has really seen here. And immediately, his mother-in-law rose and began to serve them. And so now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick and various diseases brought them to him. He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Now catch this. The demons also came out of many crying. And let's read it together. You are the Son of God. If you have your own Bibles, you can highlight and underline that. This is a declaration of who Jesus is. Remember at Jesus' baptism, you are my Son, right? You are my Son. God declares, the Father declares Jesus who he is. And now even the demons declare who Jesus is. You are the Son of God. But again, he speaks to them, he rebukes them, and would not allow them to speak because they knew that he was the Christ. And so now we come to where we were today. And it was the day, and he left that place into a desolate place. So he went away, and the people came after him and would have kept him from leaving. But this is what Jesus says. I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to all the other towns as well. In other words, I have to go around and let them know God is near, that God is close, that he is so close that you can experience him. For I was sent for this purpose. In other words, this is the reason I came, not to spend time with you, but to keep on moving. And so he continued to preach in the synagogues of Judea. You know, with this question, is Christianity too narrow? I don't know if you've ever had somebody actually interact with you with that question, or how can you say that you have the truth and you have the right way? And so this is sort of a tutorial of how to respond to that question. I'm going to share a few things, and then we'll move into communion. Okay. On one hand, yes, Christianity is exclusive. Christianity is narrow. Jesus talks about that when he says, I am the way and the truth and the life, right? Nobody comes to the Father, we know this, except through me. And so on one hand, yes, Christianity is narrow. And that's a really great, great thing, because think about it. All the other world religions, whether it's a man-made religion, whether it's a cult or a sect, whether it's a major world religion like Islam or Buddhism or Hinduism, or even Judaism, right? Even Judaism. That we have all these religious frameworks. And how do you get back to God? It's not a trick question. How do you get back to God? You gotta work for it, right? You have the sevenfold path. You have to become enlightened. You have to become one with yourself. You have to follow the 400 some laws. You have to subscribe to the tenets of this faith, and you have to continue to perform in this way, and you have to please Allah and do all this, and you name it, and that religion has it. And somewhere along the line, and you can do your history study, we don't want to do a history lesson today, but somewhere along the line, Christianity has been grouped along just as another world religion. But notice what Jesus says here. I must preach what? The good news of the kingdom of God. In other words, I have a different message. I have a different framework. I have a different question altogether. Because the kingdom that Jesus brings, what Christianity has, that is different than all the other world religions, and I dare you, I quadruple double dog dare you, alright, to go find another religion like this, alright? Christianity is exclusive because it's one of a kind. It's one of a kind. It's the only religion where God, the divine, chooses to come down to his people. It's the only religious framework where there is no action on the part of the people, and the entire action is God the Father who sends his son Jesus to bring his people back, to come near to the people, to come so near that diseases are healed and people come to know a fullness, a wholeness, an experience with the divine like they had never experienced before. So much that they would follow Jesus, that they wouldn't even let Jesus be. In fact, that's the good news that Jesus comes to share even today as we might ask questions. God, where are you? And I feel so far from you. And the good news is that we don't have to work to somehow have an experience with the divine. That Jesus, right here, he comes so close that even the demons know who he is. They say, you are who? Come on now. You are the Son of God. You're not just any sort of deity. You're not just some sort of man or woman who professed to be a prophet or a sage or a wise person. No, you are the Son of God. You're the one who is part of God, who is sent from God to in a sense be God among us. Now the question at hand is, so is Christianity too narrow? Maybe. I don't know. But think about it like this. If it's not narrow, if it's not exclusive, then what other religion is like Christianity where God can come to his people? What other religion can stand on what the divine has already done? For every woman, man, and child, namely, who has forgiven their sin, has bridged the gap between the divine and humanity, who has come and made and is continuing to make the world a better place, to be in a place of wholeness. Because every other religion will stand over here on the platform of what I have done, or what you have done, or what I have and you have not done. And as we confess our sins almost every week, and we cannot free ourselves from this bondage that we have found ourselves in. And I mean, think about it. That's the whole death and resurrection of Jesus, right? So the whole death and resurrection of Jesus is the entire foundation of Christianity. That Christianity is fundamentally not about the rules and what you gotta do and what you don't do and what you shouldn't do. No. It's different than all the other religions. That Christianity, it's about Jesus the Christ. Hello, Christianity. Jesus the Christ. It's about a person. It's not about you. It's about the person who God sends. It's not about the things that he gives or the things that you do. So Christianity, yes, it is narrow. It is exclusive. But what's the alternative? Well, here's the alternative. If you look down at your Bibles, verse 41. So the demons are coming out and they're crying, "You are the Son of God." And what does Jesus do? He rebukes them. Here's the alternative. In every other religion, the demons who would come up against the divine would be killed. They'd be dead. And yet, for some reason, you can ask Jesus when you see him face to face, you know, why didn't he? I don't know. The best answer is that only by the grace of God, because that is the kingdom of God, that the people we think are out are actually experiencing the grace of God and might be in, and the people who are in just might not be as in as they think. I mean, that's grace, isn't it? That's the kingdom of God. That is the good news that Jesus has come to proclaim, to set the captives free, to raise up the poor and to strike down the rich who think that they have everything, to build a different sort of community, a different sort of world around a person. Not the actions of the many. I mean, right before we went into our message time, we said the creed. And can we go back to that? Kara, can we go back to the Nicene Creed? And here's how we're going to end. I'm going to invite you to stand right now. Because I think sometimes we say these words and we gloss over them, okay? You kind of say it every week. It's like, okay. Here's the invitation. As we say these words once again, listen for the exclusive language, how there is one God, there's one Jesus. There is only one way, truth, and life. And at the same time, the inclusivity of how it's open for all people, the inclusivity of the resurrection of all the dead and the living, the inclusivity that He has forgiven your sins, my sins, and everyone's sins. Not through what we've done, but through the power and work of Jesus, who has come to bring you and me good news, even today. So together we share. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, who is God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, He's one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and on the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of all the dead and the life of the world to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, forgive us for the times when we have made Christianity so exclusive that we place somebody outside of Your grace, because we were those people. God, thank You for Your grace today. May this exclusive message that You are the only way, truth, and life, set apart from all other religions, all other frameworks, all other systems of belief, God, may as we share this, as we just did, be received not as only an exclusive message that You are the one, but rather an inclusive message of Your love, of Your grace, of Your forgiveness, because this religion, our religion, is based on a person, not on our deeds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.